Alan Gardner, founder and editor of the DailyCartoonist.com website, will report on incidences of visual plagiarism in the editorial pages of the nation's newspapers. But it's not something that gives him pleasure. This is Bob Andelman for Pointer Online and MediaWire. I talked to Gardner on December 6th about the latest outbreak of alleged intellectual theft among editorial cartoonists and asked for his thoughts on how more might be prevented. You can read more about this story and other breaking journalism news on MediaWire, only at www.pointer.org. How did you find out about Stoller situation?
Pretty much the same way the David Simpson stuff came to light. I just was blind copied on an email that had the link to his cartoon that ran yesterday, or was it Sunday? The one about the resume. Mm-hmm. And the link to the Cyprus cartoon. And so I forwarded that on to Stoller and said, hey, you know, I just was past this. I thought it was way too similar to be, you know, just a coincidence. So I said, hey, just what, you know, what's up with this? What do you know? Do you have a response for this? You know, on that point, I started getting more emails from other cartoonists. Well, actually, sorry, the same cartoonists with the other examples from the New Yorker. There's a back channel within the community. Obviously, the American Association of Editorial Cartoonists, the AAEC, has a list group, email group for their members. And that email that I was blind copied on was heading into that list group for discussion.
So, okay. So that's how you found out about it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you surprised to be talking about this again so soon after the David Simpson situation?
Yes. Yeah. Rarely. I mean, it comes up. Oh, I don't know. I guess if you went to the Daily Cartoonist and typed in plagiarism, it comes up, but rarely, you know, more than once a year.
Are you concerned that it's widespread, or that it, or do you think it's just a fluke?
That's a good question. There are those who will say that it's widespread. It's really tough to know. I mean, Stoller's a good example. Or if you just took his New Yorker cartoons that I posted today, they're pretty. I mean, the nationalized bank, that's an easy word gag, and it was timely for the period that it was that it ran. The poster gag, they're easy gags, and it would be very unlikely that two cartoonists couldn't come up with the same gag. So that happens all the time. And in fact, I was just passed an email today with a couple of cartoons about the postal service being slow, and two cartoons, a mailman riding on a snail. They both ran within the last couple of days by two notable syndicated cartoonists. So it happens, and that's the difficult thing is these things happen. How do you know that it's actual genuine case of plagiarism or not? So these things happen. I think it's just really hard to know for sure who's blatantly doing it and who's just had the same creative idea.
You think it's less obvious in Stoller's case than it was in Simpson's case?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, David Simpson, it was a total light box. Mm-hmm. Tracing down to the blades of grass. You know, everything was a total trace job. Whereas some of the New Yorker ones, it's a concept thing. Even the ones that I think are probably the more damning one, which were basically lifting the gag or allegedly lifting the gag about the resume. And then the one before that from last spring where the headline, his cartoon had the same punchline as a fake headline from Andy Barowitz. Those I think are more damning because they were they happened. Well, what am I trying to say? They're too close to be coincidental in my mind. Whereas the New Yorker ones, you can say, well, they're easy gags.
Now, when I spoke to Cole and Bach, they both are friendly with Stoller, have known him for a while, and they're, I mean, they're honestly they seem very protective of his integrity, and they feel that if something happened, it was more likely to be incidental with him. That this would just not be the nature of the guy. But I mean, you're saying that, I mean, and I, you know, I've seen the cartoons. It certainly could make an argument that they are awfully close.
Yeah, but like I said, the New Yorker ones, they were easy gags. Mm-hmm. I did a Google search, image search last night too, looking for the word nationalized. And there were other jokes or other cartoons using the word nationalized and referencing the bank, because that was what was topical back in 2009. I don't think that that's really strong evidence. Like I said, the stronger ones are the ones where the punchlines are the same. Because of the wording were so similar, it'd be very hard for that to be a coincidence.
So, you know, we have what I guess they're calling, I don't know if you called it this or if Poynter called it this, the visual plagiarism. I can't even say it. Visual plagiarism. It's interesting because, you know, with books or articles, you can go on Google now and you can go and search a phrase or a sentence or something and see if it mm-hmm. pops up in someone else's work. We don't quite have that available to us with the images alone. Of course, if you search the text of an editorial cartoon, if it's been entered somewhere, it might pop up.
Right.
But so what strikes me is that this type of thing gets caught because someone notices a similarity, somebody who looks at a lot of these. And that's the thing that I just – and I think we talked about this the last time. I mean, in McNally's case, I mean, you know, how many millions of people had access to having seen McNally cartoons? And, you know, the opportunity there is so many people could have potentially picked up on Simpson. It would seem like the average cartoonist wouldn't do something like this or go even near this because it is so likely that someone's going to pick up on the similarity, don't you think?
Well, it's hard not to. If you totally took a cartoonist away from the internet on a desert island, the metaphorical, often used cartoon cliche, the desert island all by himself with a palm tree. And for 20 years, he drew cartoons. And you took all those and you compared them to the New Yorker cartoon database or any other database of images, cartoons, you're going to find samples of similar work. It's just naturally going to happen that there you will find similar work. But, I mean, you talk about if you're going to – if someone's going to intentionally swipe an idea, why would you go near McNally? Mm-hmm. Why would you use cartoons from the New Yorker? Because the New Yorker's got a searchable database. Someone's going to be able to find it.
Yeah,
they're going to take your punchline, throw it in the database, and you're going to be able to find someone else's work. So that's – if you're going to do it, don't copy the most read cartoons in the world or one of the most accomplished and well-known artists in the world, cartoonists.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Now, one of the things I asked Cole about was if they had a canon of ethics in their association, and he said that they didn't, but it's something that they're talking about. Do they need to take that step? I mean, I know that my sense is that they're you know a little loose over there. That's not, do they need to step up and do that, or is it too soon to put that upon them?
I think you could probably argue it's probably too late. Most journalism organizations have some kind of ethics rules. And so it kind of surprised me that the AAC does not. Again, I think they're dealing with a form of art and creativity that I know it'd be tough to prove whether someone was intentionally unless it's a lightbox incident, that was intentional. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel for Staller because all of a sudden his reputation, his livelihood is now being examined in great detail at the moment.
Yeah, it's got to be brutal.
Yeah, and so, you know, to put someone through that, you got to have a body of evidence.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And so you think it's too late for them to step up and do the canon of ethics? So what about training? Should they at their? I mean, they do have annual conventions, and you know,
right?
Should they start offering ethics training, or you know, just a professional? You know, have a list of things that these are what professional editorial cartoonists do, and this is what you compare yourself by.
Sure, you know, I ought to say I think it's when I said it was too late is mostly a reaction that I would have thought they would have had that already. Whether they do it now, that's fine. Training, I mean, really, these are nonsensical. You're working; these are professional editorial cartoonists that work in a professional journalistic environment. They should know these ethics. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't. I don't really think that they ought to have some classes or some certification because this is part of the industry in which they work.
So they should just know?
They should just know. Yeah. I mean, most of them are college educated, you know, taking some journalism classes where this is discussed. And certainly when they're employed by a newspaper, I've got to assume the newspaper, most of the newspapers that I'm aware of have some kind of guidelines or ethics or they belong to an association. And you know, it should be pretty well-known standards within in a newsroom, what's acceptable and what isn't.
Do they need one of the things I asked Cole and Bach about is do they need a standard or for what's acceptable to you know have as a reference or you know what you know I mean how much is acceptable to borrow and be inspired by or you know I mean
right.
they were both saying you know in this line of work you should really just be inspired by the news as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That you know if you're so pressured by deadlines and you're not able to come up with these things, you know, you really need to figure something else out.
Yeah, and that you know I was thinking about that tonight too. I mean, most of the cartoonists that I know, they this is what they love to do. They love to draw. They love that creative process. If any cartoonist is getting to that point where they are basically they're copying someone else, they should just go get a job in advertising or where they're get paid to go do someone else's artwork. Mm. I mean, isn't that the point of, I mean, why do you aspire to be a cartoonist if it's not to sit there and draw? If you're lightboxing somebody, why? You're shortchanging yourself and you're, you know, your dreams and all that hard work that you've built up to get where you're at. If you're to the point where you're lightboxing, you know, give your job to someone else who deserves it and go get a job at Kinko's.
I mentioned to both those guys too that I thought, you know, editorial cartoonists are in the crosshairs in terms of newspapers that are looking to cut. You know, editorial cartoonists, movie critics, music critics, you know, things that are considered by some to be superfluous to the daily newspaper, they're mm-hmm. in the crosshairs of being cut these days. And you would think that those guys, because there's so few of them to begin with, that those guys would go out of their way to make sure that they were always above board and never even close to the line.
Yeah. You think?
You think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you expect that because of these two cases that, and I'm sure this case will continue for another few days and be talked about in great detail. Do you think that people are going to be coming out of the woodwork to be looking for more cases of alleged? I'm going to go with alleged since there's a little mm-hmm. issue with Staller. I don't want to throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
But people are going to be looking even harder for examples.
You know, that's what happened with David Simpson. And I know today, based on some of the emails that I got, that there's been kind of an effort to find more, or at least a call to go out. Hey, you know, if you know of examples, send them our way. I don't know. I mean, David Simpson was so blatant. Mm-hmm. There was no qualms about it. There was no hesitation. There was no real, we didn't use the word out alleged because it was just so blatant. Whereas this one, so I think there's a lot who understand the creative process, who maybe are aware that, you know, even in their own body of work, even if they haven't intentionally plagiarized, they might have been influenced or they just happen to have the same idea as someone else. And God forbid that somebody comes along 5 years later and looks at their body of work and compares it to someone else and finds a handful of examples and points the finger. I don't know. I think there's been an effort out there to find more. Who knows if they'll find it.
Alan, I got to ask you, the person who discovered Simpson and the person who discovered the inconsistencies, let's call it, with Stahler, uh-huh. any chance that was the same person? Who tipped you off?
My source is the same person, but he has said that he's not the one who found him. Hmm. He's an intermediary, and so I really don't know the exact source for these two cases, whether it's the same person or not. Hmm.
Makes for an interesting day for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, though not exactly a good day.